Distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen of the Law Society, ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to welcome you here tonight to this, the seventh special meeting of the 98th session of this House. Tonight marks a very special occasion in the illustrious history of the UCD Law Society and indeed in the history of the College itself. We have tonight the singular honour of welcoming one of Ireland's greatest literary figures, the poet and Nobel laureate, Seamus Heaney. Having started out on his career as a teacher and lecturer, Mr. Heaney's poetry gained public attention in the mid-1960s with the publication of his first major volume, Death of a Naturalist. Inevitably, as a young poet at the outbreak of the Troubles, both his poetry and the manner in which the poetry was received by the public were affected by the political events of the time. While never afraid to address the public role of the poet, or to take a stand on matters such as human rights and freedom of expression, Mr. Heaney also asserted the poet's right to solitude and introspection. The inner conflict between speech and silence often forms the subject matter of Mr. Heaney's work. Nowhere is this better displayed than in Government of the Tongue and the Redress of Poetry. As a poet rooted in rural Ireland, Seamus Heaney's work was influenced by the poetry of his fellow Ulsterman, Patrick Kavanagh. In the mundane and the prosaic elements of rural life, both found events that could inspire their imaginations and reveal wider truths about the human condition. In the poem Clearances, the simple act of peeling potatoes alongside his mother expresses eloquently the depth of the relationship between them. When all the others were away at Mass, I was all hers as we peeled potatoes. They broke the silence, let fall one by one, like solder weeping off the soldering iron. While this simple moment is recognisable to all of us, the true genius of Heaney lies in his ability to encapsulate its deeper significance with his masterly command of language. Aside from his own writing, Seamus Heaney has also been a critic, a translator, an educator, and an influence on other poets. His generosity of spirit has seen him mentor fellow Ulster poets such as Paul Muldoon and Maeve McGuckian. His presence here this evening to address the students of this society is further evidence of this generosity and a tribute to his humility. It is to his eternal credit that alongside the Nobel Prize for Literature, he is willing to accept the somewhat humbler honorary life membership of the University College Dublin Law Society, which we will be awarding him later this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd now ask you to welcome Mr. Seamus Heaney, who will do us the honor of reading a number of his poems and will answer some questions from the audience afterwards. Ladies and gentlemen, Seamus Heaney.
Well, auditor, professor, guests, members of the society, I think you're very lucky to have an auditor who can speak so well of a poet as Niall just did. I was honored to be offered this distinction, life membership, and I now realize that there's a substantial understanding and appreciation behind it, for which I'm extremely grateful now. I'm also aware that this UCD Law Society is one of the oldest of the most distinguished of undergraduate societies in Irish universities. And for that reason, the life membership has a special meaning. Also, because it is part of the UCD family, as it were, my own sense of at-homeness in Belfield, it's not dependent on having been a student here. I can't say I'm sorry to say. I actually enjoyed being at Queen's University. but my family, who are better qualified than me, as a matter of fact, there are two or three of them. My son Michael got his MA here in about 1987. My wife, at a later stage of her life also, got an MPhil in 1997. So there's that sense of being on home ground. And also, actually, some of my earliest, most congenial contacts with academic life in Ireland came in Belfield. Many friends from Queen's were here two brothers, Art Cosgrove and Brian Cosgrove, one of whom ended up as President Cosgrove of the university here. Anyway, I won't go into memory lane, it's too far away for most of you, but it is a special pleasure to be here.